Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
A great gust blew the Monkey King away.
The World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. This is The Instance.
Everybody, and welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance podcast for Friday, April 6th, 2018. I'm Scott Johnson with Garrett Weinzierpel. Garrett, what's going on?
Happy many release date announcements day. Happy Deckard Cain announcement day.
Yeah,
it's not an April Fool's joke this time.
Yeah, no kidding.
I promise.
It's a big week for all things Blizzard, which we'll get into in the show, but especially World of Warcraft. I don't know what happened. We were talking briefly before the show, and maybe we should expand on this a little bit, but PAX East has become quite the staging area for Blizzard in a way that I didn't think would really happen. It seemed to sort of start with the Hearthstone announcement that happened exclusively at PAX East, which was, what, 2013? Do I have that right? 2012?
I believe so. I believe it was 2013.
I can't remember.
Honestly, I don't remember.
I don't either. It seems like you should remember, though. You have a podcast about Hearthstone.
I am the worst with dates, man. You're not going to ever get an accurate date out of me. The official release date for Hearthstone itself is March 11, 2014. So, yeah, I'm going to say beta was about a year. 2013 was when it was announced.
Yeah, I think that's right. And that was a big, that was kind of a surprise that they would do. Well, the game itself was a big surprise, but it was a surprise that they would use that as the venue. Many of us were scratching our heads going, well, wait, isn't this more like this is like a BlizzCon thing, isn't it? Wouldn't you do it there? And sure enough, that following BlizzCon, we got the announcement. Hold on, that would have been 20, was that 14? Oh, I may be a year off. It was BlizzCon 2014, I think, where we got Overwatch announced. And that seemed right. Like, oh, yeah, of course you do it here at your big flagship event and make a big deal out of it. But I used to be in the headspace that anything Blizzard was going to announce of any significance would always happen at BlizzCon. And that's not true anymore. Like, we get stuff kind of throughout the year. I know there's been examples in the past of, like, France or the International or stuff like that. But, you know, still a little bit weird.
Yeah, they've announced a good amount of stuff in Europe and Asia. Wasn't Diablo 3 announced? Not in the States. That was a European event.
I think that was France, and I think it was 07.
Yeah, and Mists of Pandaria was announced in China, I believe.
Yeah. I remember being really pissed. Or actually, this was kind of a turning point for Blizzard, it turns out, but because I've heard about stuff internally where they basically swore they were never going to do what they did with Diablo 3 again, which is announce it as far back as 07 and not release it until 2012. That particular sort of early announcement and then release cycle was hard on them from a PR perspective. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that thing launched with auction house stuff and other issues that were just on the periphery, a little bit weird. The online all the time thing still wasn't really a thing in 2012. So people were upset about that. Error 37 at launch, all that stuff. So I think it kind
of
bit
us thinking them. The auction house was a good idea. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Like, yeah, that's genius. Why didn't they do this before? Oh, yeah. Wait, it ruins the game.
I was like, oh, yeah, it sucks. It turns out we thought it was going to be good, but guess what? It sucks is what it does. But
turns out kind of kills the loot grind.
Yeah, it totally does. It ruined the game in a lot of ways for a lot of people, but they fixed all that, and that's great. But I don't think they want to do that kind of anticipation chain again. And so what we've seen since then is they're well in development in a game like Hearthstone or a game like Overwatch. So when they announce it, it's like, okay, and we'll be in alpha this summer and then a release the following year or something like that. Like, it's a much more manageable sort of thing. They just have to be a lot more secretive about it. So my point being, they don't always save that anymore for BlizzCon. And it's, this week was a big week for Blizzard. Like, I would have, in the Heroes arena, for example, I would have said that there's no way they ever announced Deckard Cain as a hero if it isn't at BlizzCon. Like, that just completely blew my mind. And I don't know why. It's that big a deal.
He felt like a BlizzCon hero. When we had a couple devs on for the 200th of Into the Nexus, they talked about how there are certain heroes that are BlizzCon heroes. Yeah. And those get worked on for a while, and they hold them. And that surprised me. I just assumed it was Blizzard. When it's done, they put it out. If it's not done, they hold it.
Yeah. Listen, I got it. It's all in my head. The lights in the arena go down. And then you hear the voice of Deckard Cain go, "Stay a while and listen," and the crowd loses their minds. Now, maybe I was doing a show, so I missed the actual live PAX thing.
No fanfare.
Okay. See, that sucks. No. That blows. I think you should give, that guy deserves all the fanfare ever in the history of the world.
That being said, I'm not sure Deckard Cain should come out to, Iron Maiden level pyrotechnics. I'm not sure that's on brand.
John Cena style stage entrance. I like it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's Deckard Cain.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, that's the kind of hype I feel for him. So I'm a little bummed about that. But still, it's kind of a big deal. So I have some theories about what that means for BlizzCon. And I'll say it here. We have a ton of WoW stuff to get into, folks. So hold on to your butts. We'll get to that in a second. Patrick's on assignment to help a baby go to sleep. And Terpster might be here. He may show up. So just to let you know about that. All right, so here's the deal. I think that this clears the way for BlizzCon potentially being one of the biggest yet in terms of announcements. And so here's what we have brewing. You've got a WoW expansion, which we got a release date for now, and it's well out of the BlizzCon window. So WoW is out of the way for BlizzCon. I mean, there'll be WoW stuff, certainly, but the expansion will be out. We'll be playing it for a few months, and you know, there's nothing really to do at BlizzCon on stage other than say, hope everyone's enjoying it, got some cool panels planned, but WoW is covered.
Take a look at the next raid on this panel.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Then you've got, possibly some Heroes announcements, whatever, but they'll be small. You'll have Hearthstone announcements. They'll probably be small. Maybe they'll do like a hint at the next expansion or even announce the next expansion. But, you know, it's the cycle of Hearthstone, whatever it's going to be, it'll be. And then there's huge swath of space for something bigger. And, you know, maybe Overwatch has some big crazy announcement. Battle Royale, 100 Junkrats enter, one leaves or something. I don't know. Well, you say no, but part of me kind of wants to try that, you know? I kind of want to see what that would be.
That's just because you love Junkrat.
So I think that the room, it's been too long since we've seen all these weird Diablo job openings and hirings and them not saying anything about what any of those are and not making any kind of announcements toward a fourth Diablo or anything in that IP. So I've said this last year too, so just take this as whatever small grain of salt you want, but Scott thinks that this is your Diablo for a year. And if it's not, then potentially it's one of these incubator teams that have been quietly whittling away on something rad behind the scenes and nobody knows what it is yet. We may get our first big new announcement at the show as well. So any thoughts? Do you think any of that holds water? Like, it just feels like everybody's kind of moved out of the way to make room for something, you know, something huge.
Yeah, I mean, we could also just have another quiet BlizzCon. That's completely possible. It's been a while since we had a Geek Is year.
Oh my gosh, dude. 2010 was the Geek Is year. Never forget.
So that could happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, at this point, I'm just gonna keep yelling, you know, it's Diablo's year until it finally is Diablo's year, because it just seems like it's time. It's time for some more Diablo.
Sure. I'm ready for
it. I mean, I'm jonesing for some more StarCraft. Can we get some more StarCraft in here? Because it's been longer since Wings of Liberty's release than Diablo 3's release.
Yeah.
So can we get something new in the StarCraft universe that isn't just esports, please?
What was Wings of Liberty? 2010, right? Then 2 years later, Diablo. Yeah, that was the release thing. And that was, and then 2012, if you remember, was no BlizzCon at all that year, which they'll, you know, likely never do again. Although, okay, here's another thing for you. Normally, we would have heard by now the dates and stuff for this year. Like, we would have had some indication.
Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago last year.
Yeah. So I'm not saying this is going to happen, and I hope it doesn't, because I enjoy BlizzCon quite a bit. But everybody's like, oh, well, with the esports thing, you're never going to not have a BlizzCon again. It'll never not happen again. It's just esports is too big, blah, blah, blah. And I agreed until they went and bought themselves an arena and started doing all of the proper seasonal stuff outside of BlizzCon. If we get at BlizzCon, at the most, you get basically games that are non-consequential. They're just, what do you call that? Exhibition games. So the World Cup thing isn't for huge amounts of money or any kind of like thing. It's a Pro Bowl is what it is.
It's half and half. You get StarCraft Finals, you get Heroes Finals.
Yeah.
And then Hearthstone and Overwatch are exhibition.
Yeah, but couldn't they just, they could do all of them throughout the year. And they kind of are. Like, I don't know. There's no reason HGC has to end at BlizzCon. I'm not saying I don't want it to. I want it to. I want to be there for it. I want that to happen. I look at the faces of our people that we know at BlizzCon, and I can tell sometimes that they're just like, it's like BlizzCon all the time. Like, every minute of their day is BlizzCon for 365 days, and they start the pattern over again.
Yeah, I'm actually really happy that they've started to break out some of the esports finals.
Yeah.
First of all, for Hearthstone, it's just better.
Yeah.
It's now synced up with the expansion releases. Like, we have our Hearthstone finals actually in the beginning of the new year, because we've now had time for the third and final expansion of the Hearthstone year to run its course.
Right.
I like that a lot. And also, just as now a habitual BlizzCon attendee, it's very nice to not be like, oh, I need to go see this, I need to go see that. And it's still like that, but it's been removed just a little bit. It's like, okay, I don't need to worry about the Hearthstone finals. I'm sure it's very fun over there, but it's not important. I don't have to see it.
Well, I have that thing happen every year, which is everyone at home watching it on the virtual ticket is actually watching BlizzCon, and I'm doing a very different thing. Like, I can't, it's impossible to actually consume all the panel content you want, all of the stuff you want to see. Like, I barely made it to every corner of the floor last year. It was so crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, for me, it's turned into party and get interviews.
That's it.
That's BlizzCon for me.
Yeah. You go, you see your friends, you hang out, you have some fun. You can do some interviews. Last year, you and I got to do a couple of panels, so that was added a whole nother layer of whatever. And then, you know, when the thing's done, it's like Sunday, and you're like, well, all right, see you guys next year. Like, I don't know. It's crazy. There's a lot of theories going around that they're maybe, you know, talking about a third day, but people have been rumoring that since 2008. So I don't think Blizzard's
so doing okay
that.
With that.
I'd be great, but there's no way they're doing it. I'm predicting it right now. This thing rips them all a new butthole work wise. it is a ton of work, because they do most of the themselves. They don't sub most of what they do out. They do it as a company, and a third day, I think, is asking them to have a rough time.
I recently was playing a non-Blizzard game with a Blizzard employee friend of mine, and he informed me that this is his year off for BlizzCon. He's not required to work BlizzCon this year, and you would have thought that he won the lotto.
Oh,
in the tone in his voice.
I'll bet. Yeah. There were, well, we didn't see Holinka last year, who was most recently and famously in charge of the PvP side of WoW. And I was like, hey, dude, you're going to be around? We'll hang out. And he goes, nope, I'm out of here. And so he got to take the whole thing off. Part of that's because he's on one of those incubator projects now that no one knows about. So there's nothing to announce, nothing to be on the panel for, nothing to talk about. So why be there and be tempted to have somebody squeeze something out of you at the bar or whatever? So that kind of made sense to not see him and Corey and some of those other guys. But yeah, dude, I know what it takes to run a big messy thing, and it's hard and it wears you out. And at their scale, it must be nightmarish.
Yeah. Yeah. I did a convention for 100 people, and it was complete insanity. I can't imagine scaling that thing up to almost 30,000, and every stage has to look like, again, second reference to this band, an Iron Maiden concert.
Yeah, maybe this year we'll get actual Iron Maiden. Maybe they'll come out and be the band this year.
Lord, that would be awesome.
Run for the hills. Anyway, we'll see how that all pans out. It is time for us to dig deep all the way up to our elbows in World of Warcraft stuff. Check this out. All right, we have a release date. I don't remember what we predicted on the show, but it's sooner than I think any of us thought. It is August 14th, 2018. I don't remember any guesses. I think Terpster may have said, we may have said something like, we wish it was summer, we hope it's summer. I thought September, October.
Yeah, that's where my brain, like, if I could choose it for myself, it would have been midsummer.
Sure.
But my realistic brain was telling me September, possibly October.
Yeah, like right, usually right before BlizzCon or right after, or maybe sometimes during. Sometimes it's the week of. Like they've that's been the consistent thing for release dates for these expansions, and they're gonna beat their previous record, I think, by having it out a little bit earlier than usual, August 14th, 2018. And here's the collector's edition. If that is your spin, if that's what you like to do with your life. Boy, have I got good news for you. Another collector's edition, another space taken up on your shelf. $99 it'll set you back, and I'm guessing somewhat limited quantities like always, so you probably want to get on that as soon as you can. Horde and Alliance double-sided Mark of Allegiance. This is this two-sided emblem metal, almost like a challenge coin, but kind of like this thing, but big. And on one side you got the lion, the other side you got the Horde crap. So that's pretty cool.
Solid death swag.
Yeah, dude. I prefer that, I think, over, I don't know. What do they usually do? I'm trying to think what's the usual, like, fancy thing.
A mouse pad and an art book.
Oh. Worth every penny. Actually, I mean, you and I like the art books, but.
Yeah, I used to buy the collector's editions religiously. When they went up $20, I finally said, nope. Too much. I'll buy the art book on eBay. And there's no art book this time, so I'm definitely out.
Yeah, that's a bummer, isn't it? Huh. I didn't realize that wasn't in there. You're right.
Like, I take great pride in my collection of Blizzard art books. There's not one this time, and that bums me out.
So I got this one late, but I got this Legion one here, and it has art book, right? It's in here. Yeah, there it is.
Every single WoW Collector's Edition so far has had every Blizzard collector's edition so far is that in our book. I've got my, where is it? Right here.
Look at that.
This is terrible for an audio show.
Yeah.
I've got my Wings of Liberty art book signed by the whole.
Oh, look at that, Star dude. Team. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's what this one is. Every WoW dev signed this thing, and it's awesome, and I love it, and I'll probably never open it. Well, I guess
the only
have
one I can
it,
read but... is Samwise. That's the only autograph I can actually make out.
There's somebody on here named Kenny. I got that one.
is it Kenny from the Hearthstone team?
I don't know. It just says Kenny. Actually, it says Kenny G, which I don't think it's the saxophone player from the 80s. I could be wrong on that.
Oh, that's fantastic.
David Rutledge. His is spelled out pretty good. Somebody wrote Warcraft on it.
Good. Well done.
A couple of Johns. I mean, there's a few I can see. Disty. I don't know who Disty is, but there you go. And John Yang. Those are the names I can read.
Hold on to that, Scott, because getting an autograph from Mr. Warcraft himself is very rare.
Yeah. He doesn't come out much. He's a kind of keeps to himself kind of guy. anyway, here's what else you get. You get the hardcover double-sided book, Elegy and a Good War. This is a limited edition hardback. Collects two new World of Warcraft novellas depicting the burning of Teldrassil, from the points of view of the Alliance and the Horde. Each story includes original artwork exclusive to that edition, written by Christy Golden and Robert Brooks. Still not an art book, which bums me out, but I'm sure it's a fine read. Digital versions
there were some mentions on Twitter that there's quite a bit of new original art in the book itself.
Yeah.
Since they're shorter stories, but I'm sure it still won't be as much as a full-fledged art book.
Yeah, it's not every page, here, check out this rad art, which is what they have been in the past. I don't know. You and I are a little biased in this regard. Probably most people don't care as much, but I like those art books a lot. Digital versions of the same book without the exclusive artwork will also be able to read online later this year, so that stuff will be available for others. And Battle for Azeroth digital soundtrack, each collector's edition contains a key... Not a CD anymore. We're done. That's it. No more plastic circles, dude. None.
I'm okay with that.
I am too. Welcome to 2009, as far as I'm concerned. That's pretty much the last time I bought a physical CD. So
I just uncovered a box of a bunch of my old CDs. I'm like, what do I even do with this?
Probably, you know what you should do? All right, here's what you do. You convert anything you want to keep, right? Like,
I've already done that.
Okay,
that's why those ended up in a box in the first place. Was back in 2005 when I got my first iPod.
So did you convert them to nice high high stuff like 320 kpbs, that kind of stuff, or are they mm-hmm. like
okay. As a matter of fact, that's what I've done with every WoW soundtrack I've gotten out of collector's editions.
Okay, good. All right, so nice high bit rate, that's good. Then I would just take all that stuff to like a record store, the ones that still exist. You get some money out of that. They'll give you like I don't know, some kind of cash, or sign a bunch of them and sell them to the Angry Chicken audience.
Well, I hope they like pop punk and ska.
Oh yeah, you were one of those '90s kids. I always forget. Hey, I don't really forget. Your hair reminds me every time I see it. What else? This is, oh yeah, so you can download that crap and no longer are you getting a disc, which is a little bit weird. So I don't know what the decision was there, but I do like this. I like the coin. I want that thing pretty bad, but I don't think I want it enough to shell out the 99. We'll see. What ends up happening, kind of like this Legion one, is one of them will just show up one day and I won't have to get it.
Oh, that must be nice.
I mean, Scott. I'm not trying to be like, that sounds lame, and it is lame, but it's
not so humble brag.
I mean, that one, this was a gift from Liam O'Brien. He was very sweet to.
That it's just getting humbler as you speak.
Yeah, but.
This was just a gift from the voice of Illidan himself.
Yeah, you know? Tripping over
I'm
his
just,
name.
I'm just a normal Warcraft fan like you who are not friends with Illidan.
All right. I realize how it sounds as you're saying. You're making good points. You're making good points.
Yeah, I already bought myself the digital collectors. I wasn't going to do it, but then I saw that damn Hearthstone card back, and I had to have it.
Yeah, here's Illidan, by the way.
Hello, nerds.
It's that was back in Nerdtacular 2015. You were there.
I was.
Let's talk about the highlights at launch. This is a lot of stuff we already know, but they reiterated a ton of this on stage. Dark Iron Dwarves and Magar Orcs will be the first two new allied races. By the way, I'm finding a lot of emails of people saying, how come the Alliance is getting all the new races and the Horde isn't? They're confusing the word allied with Alliance.
Yeah. I'm like, what are you talking about? Each time we've gotten some, we've gotten one for each.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it seemed
or
obvious.
Two for each.
I think they're just confused by the wording. So, yes, if anyone out there is still confused, allied does not mean Alliance, even though Alliance is another version of the word allied. I mean, they're kind of synonymous, but allied races are for both factions, of course, and you'll get them like that. So, for example, those Magar Orcs and the Dark Iron Dwarves, Dwarves being Alliance, Orcs being Horde. You play through the war campaign at release and unlock them. So that's when you're going to get those. They also confirmed that the Kul Terrans and the Zandalari Trolls will come later in the expansion. They will not be there day one.
Lame.
So I agree. They're the ones I want the most.
They're the only races I care about.
I want fat humans and upright trolls. That's it. That's what I want.
Yep.
Yes, that's
I have always wanted brown orcs, but
sure,
not compared to the tallest race in the game of upright trolls and pirate humans.
Yes,
I want pirate humans,
fat pirate humans. Like that's what I'm into. I'm into fat pirate humans. I'm actually just into humans that don't look stupid. And no offense, Alliance, you've always looked kind of dumb. You just have. Your humans have always looked a little dumb, even with the complete redos that happened in. When did we get the new stuff? I guess it was Warlords.
That was Warlords, as long as you weren't a Blood Elf. Then you had to wait like another half year.
Yeah, and even then, I'm still not sure they looked that great. But anyway, the point is that the humans just always have looked stupid since launch day in 2004, and I still think they look stupid today. They just look dopey and out of place, and they in a dance, they'd be sitting in the corner going, man, I sure hope that girl walks over here. Like, they just look terrible to me.
A very specific reference there, Scott.
Yeah, I don't know where that came from, but I would really like it to be able to play these right away, but whatever. I guess, you know, they can't give us everything at once, and we'll have to wait a little while to get the proper cool races in the game. Although Dark Iron Dwarves are really rad, I'm jealous of those. Since I don't really have much going on in the Alliance side, I'm not sure how much of those I'll see right away, but I'll take the orcs for now. But anyway, Kul Terrans and Zandalari at some point in the run of the expansion. They say later that they didn't specify what that means. Another round of realm connections is coming, so they are all about consolidating realms. Some people hear that and go, oh, the player base is shrinking. I would actually say, no, they're just, you know, they're just getting efficient with this stuff and We're already, you know, if you and I, it's entirely possible that you and I could be out playing, doing something, and we would run into friends of ours from a whole different server because all that stuff's meshed together now anyway. So to you, it may as well be like, I don't know, what's it like? It's like ESO's, Elder Scrolls Online's one Tamriel thing where it's just one big fat world. I think mm-hmm. we're heading there. I think that's what Blizzard ultimately wants on this in this game.
Anyway. Yeah, I think eventually that's a good place to go. I mean, I really like the realm meshing. I mean, for me, at least how I've noticed it, it seems like, cool, now when I level an alt, there's actually people in the zone I'm going through. But when I'm playing current content, it's mostly people from my server.
Yeah, same. That's usually what I do. Let's see. What else we got? Oh, pre-expansion patch will include content in Darkshore that tells the backstory of the burning of Teldrassil. So you're going to learn all that shite then? Some of that stuff.
The spoilers leaked, we've gotten so far, they better be red herrings. They better be red herrings. I do not like what has been spoiled so far.
I don't either, dude. I mean, maybe that stuff is red herrings. Because we know they plant some of that stuff. And
yeah, I mean, there was that big straight up lie in the alpha for Legion about what was happening in High Mountain.
Yeah, and I think there's a good chance some of this stuff is hokey. But I think this is Ian. This is Hazzikostas at his best. I think he likes, you can see it in his eye. He likes to screw with us a little bit.
He's like, you're eating this up. Yeah. You think we're just going to make the Horde straight up bad guys.
Yeah. And you can't do that. You can't do that. I understand the Alliance is like, oh, sure you can. But no, sir. No, thank you. I don't think we just go over there and burn that thing down and it's that simple and we're horrible and we're just evil. Nope. I believe in my hairy, ugly races.
That being said, if this turns out to be true, it's going to be riots.
Oh, dude.
It's going to be riots in game.
People are going to lose it. Complete freak out from Horde players. There's no
Rawr,
way.
Rawr, Alliance bias. Rabble.
Is that the Hamburglar does that, I think?
I take it from any angry mob in South Park, but sure.
Okay. Sure. Rabble. Is that what I'm thinking of? Yeah, the Hamburglar. He'd come steal your hamburgers and make that noise as he ran away. Anyway, doesn't matter. It's my childhood. Who knows?
It's just the noise that your stomach makes after you eat a McDonald's hamburger.
Oh, my gosh. I made a huge mistake. It was my daughter's birthday yesterday, and we went to this Mexican place that she wanted to go to. And she had some friends and some cousins and stuff, and my wife's out of town, so it's just me and my daughters, and Nick's out of town, too. So it was just us. And I got there, and I hadn't eaten all day because I was thinking, man, I'm just going to save some room for this Mexican food, and it's going to be great. We get there and no one told me, but they have this huge salsa bar with 100 million salsa types and then all the chips you can eat. Tons of it, just walls of it. And boy, that was a terrible mistake I've made. I just nom nom nom. I ate so much of that stuff that today I just feel like a bloated horse who is probably going to explode at some point and no one's going to want to be around me for the next 6 hours. So. There you go.
I'm glad we are many states away.
You're happy to be in Florida today. Seriously, I knew as I was doing it too. I'm like, I'm eating too much. What am I doing? Slow down, Scott. It's not
a lot of acid on an empty stomach.
Oh my gosh, it's gonna kill me. Anyway, whatever. Remember me while I was alive, everybody. All right, moving
Speaking
on.
Speaking of dramatic events, apparently we're getting more of those 2.5D animated features about the burning of Teldrassil.
Yeah, how you feel about those? Those are always kind of cool. Well-voiced.
I really like them. The art style is great. I loved the stuff they did leading up to Legion with Khadgar. It was the coolest stuff they did with Khadgar, because once we got into Legion, he was a total goofball, and they removed all his epic.
Yeah, shit wizard is what he became after that.
As you like to say.
We love calling him the shit wizard. But that stuff was awesome. The stuff for Warlords was really cool. They started all this, I guess, back with Pandaria, right? With
yes.
What was that? Yeah. The Monkey King thing I played at the top of the show. This thing.
Yeah,
you
a had great a gust blew the Monkey King away.
That's a Lore Walker Cho telling us a sweet tale.
It is. Ah, that one was absolutely gorgeous. They had all those brush pen animatics.
Yeah, it was really awesome. I love everything. All their animation teams are just so awesome at Blizzard.
Everybody. I know I've spent most of my life saying, can we go back to Lich King now? Can we go back to Pandaria? Can we do that?
I loved Pandaria. I loved it. Listen, I know I've said it on the show many times, and I don't want to overdo it, but it's maybe my most, it may not be my favorite expansion, it's my most fondly thought of.
Yeah, we should probably just not go back anywhere, because when we do, it's not that great, whether it's Old World and Cataclysm or a rendition of Outland and Warlords. But
well, we're going to do it, because if we're going to go level these other heroes, we got to go to the scaled zones, and that's one of them. So
that is true.
You may go in there.
You could just boost them.
I guess you could boost them. That's $60 a pop, man. F that.
Oh, you mean you don't get free boost from Liam O'Brien?
No, I don't.
He doesn't send them to your house.
Doesn't just show up in the mail. Free boost, Scott. Here you go for no reason. Have this. I wish. $60 a pop is still too much. I think this
game
just
yells you are prepared and pelts you in the head with a code.
Yeah. I mean, I know that they don't want people to run wild with it, but I think like 25. That should be the price. 60 is crazy.
I feel like they're under 40. Has to be under 40, and it's enough that I won't do it a ton, but I wouldn't feel terrible for doing it.
Yeah, 60 just feels like they don't want you to do it because it's so high. And if you do, well, then you're a sucker, you know? And I've done it. I'm a sucker. I've done it once, twice.
Maybe. I have two.
Yeah.
And I've done a lot more server transfers and faction swaps.
Oh, yeah.
I used to be all Alliance all the time, and then more and more just made the Horde my home.
Yeah, you came to your senses is what you did. Sorry, I'd like to stir up a little. Listen, we got Battle for Azeroth coming. We have to stir up some Alliance v Horde business. It's been a while on the show since we could really do that.
I might start Alliance in this expansion. the way that they're... Listen, my first tune ever was a Night Elf. Yeah. I have very fond memories of leveling out on Teldrassil, and the fact that that ish is getting burnt.
Yeah,
it's stirring something in me I forgot was there.
Well,
my night elf, my inner night elf is coming out, Scott, and
well,
gonna have to pay.
Go fire him up. I kind of wish we were on Suramar, because I got a night elf hunter over there named Roy. Three letters, Roy. Like, it's impossible to even do that in the game now. You can't have a three-letter name. It's just impossible. On any server, I guarantee you couldn't come up with a three-letter combo that somebody hasn't either already taken or Blizzard hasn't, you know, crossed out or whatever.
I bet you could, as long as it doesn't actually spell anything pronounceable.
I mean, I'm tempted to go, like, get Roy, faction change him. Well, then
no.
I'd lose the name, wouldn't I?
You still lose the name. Well, I mean, if you stayed on the same server, I don't believe you would.
If I move servers, though, I'm going to lose that name.
If you move servers, there's an extremely high chance that someone on Earthen Ring is named Roy.
So fingers crossed that they get all this, like, single realm business worked out so that all names are everywhere and I can just play Roy. That'd be great.
I think you should level an Alliance tune.
You think so?
I think you should dip your toe in.
Well, I've done that, but I've got some dwarf somewhere that's like, yeah, he's probably parked at 60. I don't think I've touched him since vanilla or maybe BC, but yeah, maybe. I know there's a lot of cool stuff over there, sure.
Yeah, Alliance towns are so cool, man. I love it. For nothing else, it's for the architecture.
Sure. What we should do is just get really overpowered Horde characters and go wipe out these towns you're talking about. Let's do that.
I'm always down for a good capital raid.
Oh, I miss those days, too. They used to have real rewards for that. Like, well, I guess you still can do the things, but like the bear mount.
Yeah, you
used
can get
to
the black war bear.
Yeah, I love that.
Hey, do you remember when town guards didn't net you and it was actually fun to PvP in towns?
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, now they net you and you basically instantly die.
Yeah, they're bastards. Let's see. What else? Oh, we know more about the Heart of Azeroth, you know, the new the neck piece that's replacing your weapon deal.
Yes.
It's where you're going to put all your
Azeroth. A lot of people split on this. I'm all for this. I miss getting new weapons as loot.
I am too. I don't need, I mean, you can, the nice thing is everything you've unlocked, everything you've achieved, all your alternate looks and feels to all of the, all of your legendary weapons you've got, not legendary, what are they called? I've already forgotten. What are they called right now? Your weapons.
Artifacts?
Artifact weapons. Jeez, a name wouldn't come to me. It all moves forward with, you know, swapping it out, making whatever you want to look like whatever, like. It's no big deal. The game supports a really awesome system for that now. So you can keep your weapon forever, really. You just have better stats every time you get a new one and then just make it look like the one you miss so bad. So if it has to look like that dumb hunter rifle, great. You're good. If it has to look like, who's, no one has Korhal, what, or do they? No.
No, I don't believe Korhal.
Or Korhal. That's the sound Bo makes when we do Gore. What was Varian's two blade thing? I forgot what it's called.
Lion's Fang?
What's it called? What'd you call it?
It's called Lion's Fang, isn't it?
No, that's not it.
Oh no, that's from old school Warcraft. That's Warcraft 1 stuff.
It's the my brain. Twin Blades Terry. I have no idea what it's called. But anyway, the point is Charlemagne. Oh, Charlemagne. Yeah, right. That thing you want to still look like that? You can. Whatever you want to do, you can do it. Okay? So just don't worry about it. Transmog is your friend. And I'm not having a problem with this at all. But anyway, the Heart of Azeroth, it's the next slot. It's that little artifact. It's basically your new artifact weapon. It's going to sit there on your neck. You're going to wear it. And you need to get Azerite to empower it. And you're going to be able to gain that stuff all over the place. In specific, here's where you're going to get it. Nodes, chests, creatures, quest givers, bosses, island expeditions, war fronts. And then they say more. I wonder what more.
Yeah, it sounds like just about everything. It's just about everything the game is going to be giving you.
Well, it's like artifact power now, right? Like in just about anything that dies or falls or breaks, you can get Azerite or you get artifact out of it. Yeah, every quest has artifact power. Like it's ridiculous. But it sounds like, hey, guess what? There'll be Azerite in the video game is what we're saying.
Yeah, yeah. And it's basically giving you like little mini talent trees, unlocking it on certain pieces of armor.
So do you, after kind of reviewing all of this, do you feel pretty good about their direction they're going with this? Do you think it's a good, not replacement, but a good evolution of the artifact system?
Yes. I mean, I'm not thrilled with the artifact system. I don't like the endless grind that is artifact power.
Yeah.
It doesn't do much for me because it kind of seems like it's so endless. It's like, well, why even bother? I mean, if I'm raiding, clearly I should because it helps my stats quite a bit. But there's something to me just like I don't know for me end game WoW has always just been about the gear collecting and I enjoy that grind, and something about just an endless number needing to get bigger doesn't do much for me.
I kind of that way as well. I prefer milestone type goals where the goal is clear and you can get there, and that's how it is in the early goings. But at the end times of Legion, you're just piling numbers on numbers. It's just in the billions, and you're just like, here's a stone that 6 months ago gave me 300 artifact power. Now, for some reason, it gets me 8 billion. So that's sweet. And I'll just throw that in here. And I don't know. It's just this big relative number growth, which really probably is the main reason we're not seeing these weapons carry forward, because it's just too weird right now. It's just those numbers are insane. And it starts to seem like
they could do a squish. I mean, they have certainly made peace with squishing in World of Warcraft. But
in this case,
you're going to keep it. I'm glad it's going to a non-visual piece of armor.
Yeah.
And the little miniature talent tiers, they do look interesting. Mm-hmm. Like what you're going to be able to get out of this looks fun. I hope it just doesn't become this endless number pit though at the top end.
Yep. It says gaining enough Azerite eventually levels up the artifact and unlocks 4 tiers of traits on your head, shoulders, and chest armors or items. Each tier has options that either empower spells and abilities or slash abilities, grants temporary buffs or survivability traits. You can also choose a single option from each tier as you unlock them. Empowering your Heart of Azeroth will also come with visual upgrades and item level increases. So kind of everything you thought it would do.
Yeah, and this is all alpha test too. Like, there's only one piece of armor, I think, per gear class right now that you can mess around with on the alpha.
Yeah.
So who knows if the talents are final. It looks like right now, once you pick a talent, it's like permanent, and I don't believe anyone's found a way to undo it and pick a different talent at a certain tier.
Sure.
I can't imagine that's going to be the way it is when it goes live.
Yeah, some are saying it's a little lackluster right now because, again, it's one piece. It's a 110 chest piece currently. So the talent options are a little limited, but it's alpha. It's, we expect that.
We're still in the very early stages. There are straight up bridges that you just fall through if you try to walk over them in the alpha build right now. So I think this is going to get significantly more fleshed out.
So from PAX, there's a bunch of media outlets who have been playing the beta or the alpha on there because they've got playable versions of the game and stuff. And the thing that I'm hearing the most about is Island Expeditions. Now, I already thought that those that was probably going to be my most anticipated feature of the game, at least mechanically. I love the idea of kind of randomization and content that is you can do over, basically Diabloing up my WoW experience a little bit, and making it varied and freshening it with different randomizations and that sort of stuff. And it sounds like Island Expeditions, by all accounts, is really cool and a great way to move through content and gain progression that isn't just grinding dungeons that we've been doing since 2007, you know, like a real alternative that's actually really fun. And so I'm so happy to hear that. I was reading some Kotaku thing and something on PC Gamer or something, and they were all just raving about this, saying how much cooler it is than you think.
To me, it sounds like my hope for it is that I get out of it what I wanted out of Scenarios. Like, yep. I was really excited for Scenarios, and then they came and I did not like them at all. Like, they did not scratch the itch I thought they were going to. And it sounds like on paper that the Island Expeditions are going to be giving me that.
Well, I mean, the problem with the Scenarios was it was like watching a 2-minute, you know, short film.
Really lame with bad animation.
Yeah, really lame, bad animation. They don't really, you know, it's not the polished experience you get from the rest of the game, but also once you've seen it, you're done. Like, you don't want to go back there and ever do that again. There's nothing mechanically about it that's interesting, or nothing varies from time to time in there. It's the variation would only be, does your team suck so bad that you somehow don't finish a scenario?
Right, which isn't any different from dungeons, which is just odd. It was just like Scenarios were just so stripped down that I did not want to go back to them.
I like them as interstitial moments in the game proper, like, and that's what they've kind of done with them. Like, I say from Warlords forward, you've seen what was being done in those scenarios is just now integrated into the questing. It's like, oh, here's a point where everything disappears around me and it's just me and so-and-so going on a quick little 2-man run through this village to do a bunch of stuff and have some dialogue and a quick interaction with the boss and then kill it. You basically ran a scenario. The difference was you didn't queue up for 3 other people to do it.
Right. Yeah. The tech has evolved in a great way in Legion invasions, for example. You know, once you do enough Legion invasion that you can do the final part of it, you're basically in a scenario with a few other players.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So I think they've moved that stuff forward in a smart way, and I'm glad the old way is gone. But this seems more like sure, I'll go to the same island again, but structures are in different places. The AI opponents are completely different this time than they were last time. Objectives have all been switched up. You know, where you go and when you do it is all different. Like, it's like a randomized dungeon. And if it's as good as people are saying, at least initially, I mean, we'll see. Some of this stuff seems really super cool on top, and then you do it 3 times, you're like, okay, I think I'm good. Maybe this will last beyond that. And I really hope so, because by far, at the end, last year at BlizzCon, it was easily my favorite stuff anyone was talking about. Really, really, really stoked about it, and now even more so because people seem to be confirming what I'd hoped. And we will soon find out. Because I want to grind. I don't mind grinding. That sounds bad out of context. Nobody isolate that and use that for
anything. Oh, yeah. It definitely won't be the first time a grinding joke has been made from a WoW discussion.
No, but, you know, just I know how people get. I don't mind it when I feel like I'm making progress. And at least there's some effort to make the grind seem less grindy. So that's what this seems like to me. And I'm jazzed about it. So we'll see how that goes. Hey, did you know this? The remote auction house app, it's going away, done, retiring. Now you might say to yourself, whoa, wait a minute. This is how I kept on up with my auction stuff. In fact, I remember from years people were complaining there wasn't a way to do this. And then there was, and now you're saying there isn't? I don't think this is a bad thing. I think this is a necessary step toward the ultimate step, which is one app to rule them all. There's Armory in there. There's remote auction house management. There's stuff dealing with, you know, however they're going to carry forward with companions in the new expansion. And there'll be stuff in there that deals with this new artifact necklace and all that. I think that that's the plan. They're not changing the API. They're not changing the the way people access this data, they're just shutting down the remote auction house. And I think that's what they're going to do. We're going to get one app to rule them all at some point.
That's a really awesome direction to head if that is where they are heading.
Yeah.
Counterpoint, say that.
Yeah,
when just you say announce it. That you're shutting down the auction house.
I agree. Say that, or just say that we have a broader app strategy and we're working toward that. We don't have details right now. That would be enough for me to go, oh, okay, well, you're working on another thing. Because right now, because I'm making all this up whole cloth, it's just a thing that's getting canceled. I don't know shit about what they're going to do with it.
Yeah, exactly. The official word from Blizzard is just that this is going away and that's the end of it. They have said nothing else. So, and granted, I am not talking as someone who uses the auction house functionality in the app. I don't. It's not a thing I do. So it's not really something that's going to affect me. But I've seen a lot of folks on Twitter that clearly use this feature a lot. You're concerned. Like, hey, why is this going away? I use this.
Yeah.
So it would be wonderful if we just have one WoW app to rule them all. Although, granted, it's not that fragmented. There's what, two? There's Armory and there's the Legion Companion app.
Yeah, but you can see why. I don't know. You can see why it would be a little weird to have multiple apps. Like, I like the idea of them consolidating. The problem is that each expansion changes so much that it is like a brand new development. But also, we know that there's a ton of mobile work happening at Blizzard. We don't know what it is. There's new games being worked on. There was that leak a while back about some mobile RTS thing. But we also know there's more development happening mobile generally. They've done a bunch of hires in the mobile arena. So it's not just Hearthstone anymore for mobile. So whatever that means, maybe they're just upping their game. And this, and that's the other thing. Okay, here's the other two items that are dumbly separate, though. So you mentioned the two. There's actually two more. The Authenticator and what's the other one?
There's another BlizzCon app?
No, although that one I could see being separate. I'm fine with that.
Oh, the BattleNet app. There's BattleNet app where you can actually use it. You know, you're right. I completely forgot about those two. You know why? Because I never really, I use the Authenticator, but I never actually go into because it just pings my phone now and I just hit yes and I'm good.
But part of the reason you don't do that is because it's all in these separate things and you're just like, well, it's a pain in the ass. So you just use
one. That should have, that could all,
coagulate it. Get it all in one place, mush it all together and make one damn app that works well. And then just, if a tab changes, great, change the tab for the new expansion or whatever. But I'm telling you, there's got to be a better way than they're doing it now. And they all, and they're all weird. They all have different UIs. Like, it's kind of not Blizzardy. It's very un-Blizzard the way that they are currently constructed.
That's true. But this got off the ground. I mean, back before we really started getting cohesion with the BattleNet client on our desktops, like we started getting our first WoW apps back when it was, you know, World of Warcraft was its own icon on your desktop that you launched.
That's true. Yeah. Well, the Armory app, which I think was the first one I ever really messed with, still looks like it was made for, you know, early Android and early iOS versions. Like,
oh yeah, my first was a 3GS, and yeah, when I go in there, I'm like, oh yeah, it just looks like it's on my 3GS but slightly longer.
Yeah, it's a little fuzzy still. It's a little, you know, they haven't really upped the res. It's not a lot of vector work going on. It's just kind of clunky. So hey man, get your Kludge out of there, make your one big unified app. I think there's probably some effort to do that, so we'll see.
That would be solid. A big unified app for all of the kind of housekeeping Blizzard stuff, and if you have a separate app, make sure it's a game.
Yeah. Here's how they try to soothe you, by the way, at the end. Azeroth Auctioneer, this is them, Blizzard directly on their forum post. Azeroth Auctioneers need you. In the meantime, eager auctioneers all over Azeroth are still available and conducting business as usual. So seek them out for all of your auction house needs. Time is money, friend. See, they put a little lore, a role play there to make you feel better about your app going away. Good job, guys. I like it.
But doesn't help.
I like it a lot.
All it really does is remind me that I want an option for my goblins to have the original goblin voices.
Oh, that's right. Those were cool, weren't they?
Oh, I love them. They're so shrill.
Yeah. It's so different than now. Now they're just they just sound like street toughs.
They're Jersey Shore.
Yeah. Yeah. The tanning, gym, and laundry guys, basically. I used to watch that show. Is that embarrassing?
I was about to say, I as far as I went with that reference was saying Jersey Shore. whatever just left your mouth was a foreign language to me.
Well, you'll hear it. They say the goblins in the game will say it once in a while. But they won't say gym tanning and laundry. They'll say GTL, and then it stands for something else. Gold, it's whatever. So they're making a reference to that show. But, and I don't like reality shows at all. I really don't like MTV anymore. I don't like any of that stuff. But for some reason, got completely sucked into that stupid freaking thing. I don't know why. It was all garbage, but I watched it.
Assuming it's like watching a train wreck.
Yeah, it was like a you know, guilty pleasure kind of deal. Although,
can't look away.
Yeah, it wasn't that much pleasure, though, if I'm being honest. look at this final note before we get to what's happening in the rest of Blizzard. What do you call it? A WoW reference that was in the Family Guy episode was kind of lame. Everybody was thinking, oh, there's going to be a whole episode where somebody gets hit in the head and now they're in Warcraft land and it's just going to be constant Warcraft jokes and stuff because that image that was floating around and they, you know, they'd obviously done some production stuff on that to sort of pimp this thing out. And it was just a Leroy Jenkins joke in the middle of a normal episode. It was fine.
I actually thought it was a good bit. Like, as far as Family Guy bits go, it was pretty well done. They did a unique, like, Warcraft 3D style for the joke.
Yeah.
But the way this was hyped up, I thought we were getting, like a Star Wars Family Guy Star Wars episode.
Yeah.
Like, I thought the majority of the episode was going to be Warcraft themed. Yeah. And instead, you know, Katie and I are sitting there like, are they punking us? Is this, we're like 20 minutes in. Where the hell is the Warcraft?
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed. Now, to their credit, they never once said, yeah, this is an entirely themed Warcraft episode. What they did do is just vaguely put out this thing, and it was like, here's Stewie versus Peter. He's Horde, he's Alliance. Here's a big fight in the background. It looks like Battle for Azeroth. That's your promo image. Of course we're all going to go, it's a big parody thing. And it's almost, you know, those Star Wars ones were almost the only, it's almost the only Family Guy I can stand. I don't really like that show that much. But I like those. So I thought, oh, I like this. No, this is Leroy Jenkins on a boat. It's fine. It's an old reference. It's fine.
Yeah. To me, it all comes down to the hype because Family Guy is known for its like one-off jokes.
Right.
Like it's random the smash cuts. And I haven't been following it, but correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think they've ever hyped up a one-off joke in the history of Family Guy. Like, it's not like when they did their aha joke, they were announcing like, aha, comes to Family Guy this week. Like, no, they just did a great little take on me joke and it was wonderful. And we all moved on with our lives.
That's exactly right. I think they were trying to trick all the nerds into thinking they were going to tune in for something else. And they ended up getting a bump in ratings. That's what I think happened there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of annoying.
I don't mind Family Guy, so it was fine, but
yeah.
I was mildly annoyed.
Yes, but the actual bit was fine. It was fine. It was a funny little moment. If it had happened, you know what would have been great? If they wouldn't have said anything about it and they wouldn't have done any of that promo stuff and this would have just happened, it would have gone viral in our community because we would all said, oh my gosh, you guys see that thing? Family Guy did a joke. It would have, it's the right side of the hype. It would have been the other side where it was like, oh, that's great. Cool. I'll have to check it out. Like, it wouldn't have been this, like, other direction where they were trying to force us into thinking it was something it wasn't. Annoyed me.
Yeah, that's kind of where my mind was. So, like, if I had just watched this episode and this popped up, I would have laughed my head off. But instead, I was just sitting there waiting for it. By the time it got there, I was like, okay, that was fine.
Annoying. Yeah. All right. Let's see what's going on in the rest of Blizzard. Oh, man. So much else got announced this week. Finally, Deckard Cain coming to Heroes of the Storm. Entering the Nexus, stay a while and listen. And in fact, his stay a while and listen is based on they say it was inspired by the Carbot animation thing where he kind of broke down what he thought Deckard Cain should be for the stay a while and listen ultimate. But I would just like to go on record as saying that before that really cool Carbot animation thing came out, I had suggested on a show that should be his ultimate. And then I realized probably everybody had this in their head. That he would say, stay a while and listen, and everyone would fall asleep. So, I don't want to take credit for it, but yeah, it was a good idea, and I'm glad they went with it. Anyway, he's in the game.
Some version of a stun, yes. Right? Like, whether you're listening, whether you're sleeping.
Now, some of his stuff, I'm gonna be honest here. I'm very excited about him, okay? I love Deckard Cain. This is a long-wanted thing. I'm glad he's support. I love support, so I'm happy he's support. Some of his stuff, though, is just so on the nose. It's like, his Herodric cube. It's not a, you know, normal cube where you're like, here, I'll upgrade your items for free or any of that. It's this big cube.
He just throws it.
Yeah, he throws it and it goes, wah, and makes kind of an explosion and hurts people. You know, perfectly suitable in a game like Heroes, but still, I don't know why I think that's a little cheese ball, but it is. And then what's the other one? His Q is his... he leaves potions all over the place. I love
that. That is awesome.
Love it.
How dare you?
No, not complaining about that. No, I think that is awesome. I think it's so cool. And some of the talents that like refills them and the sound effects that they make, which are ripped right out of Diablo, 100% in on those. What's his... I forgot what his E is. Cubes W. I forgot his E. Dang it.
His E is he draws a triangle. I forget the actual name off the top of my head. I'm trying to pull it up, but so he has a cube, he has a square attack, and then he has a triangle attack on E.
Oh, right. It's like he's he's like the PlayStation controller of Heroes of the Storm. But yeah, you put down that you draw a triangle, and if you're smart about timing, people within it get trapped or stunned or rooted for, I don't know, a second.
Yeah. Scroll of Sealing is the name of it.
So it's got a lot.
All of these abilities have like a slight delay before they land. So you're gonna have to work on your timing to land these abilities.
Yeah, it reminded me. It's like watching Chromie do her crap.
Don't say that.
I don't want to ruin it for you, but
I want to like this hero.
Well, except for his Q. Throwing bottles turns out it's pretty easy. But yeah, he seems great. They're calling him a setup support healer. He does a lot of sort of area clearing and sort of area work, which I like. I like heroes that do that. That's why I'm a big fan of Stukov. He does similar things. And anyway, he looks awesome. You guys should check it out. His two ultimates are pretty cool. Like I said, the Stay a While and Listen is a cone in front of him, and anyone caught within it is put to sleep. I think what happens is if you take damage while you're asleep, just like with Ana, you no longer are asleep, I think.
Yes, and there's kind of a failsafe on it that you can only be put to sleep once per cast of the ability. So
right.
If your sleep is interrupted, because it's a 3-second channel in this like wide arc. So if you're still standing in it and someone knocks you out of sleep, you don't get put back to sleep because you're standing in it. It's not like Mosh Pit.
Yeah, you wake up and get the H out.
Yeah, you can just leave.
Yeah.
You can just walk away.
It's kind of bummed.
However, even when the channeling is over, there's an additional 2 seconds of sleep on the back end of it. So if you're not interrupted and you've put to sleep at the very beginning, it's a full 5 seconds of you not being able to do anything.
Yeah, and I like, my favorite thing about it is they have voice lines in this thing where he tells an actual story, and it's kind of randomized up, so there's a bunch of it. It isn't just him going, stay a while and listen. It's him going, stay a while and listen, and he opens his book, and then he starts going, Mephisto was the third of the primeval. Like, he'll tell you a story.
I hope he has.
I'm so excited for this.
I really want him to have stories about other Blizzard universes.
Yeah.
Murlocs are merfolk that live near coastal towns. They've been known to terrorize the villagers of Redridge. Like, I want that.
Well, that'd be great. They also talked a bunch about their lore plans. They didn't get too specific, but there's a comic coming at the end of the month or something that'll help lead into some stuff. So they say they want to explore Nexus lore, do more story-based stuff, and...
The lore bit was strange.
That a little
was the back
strange.
Half of the panel, yeah. And it was very, like, here's some slides of things you've already seen.
I don't feel like they're ready to. How do I put this? They're either not really ready to tell us, or there's not much there. I don't know.
I'm not sure which it is. And if they're not ready to tell us, it makes me wonder, like, well, why didn't you just make the whole panel about Deckard?
Yeah, that's a good point. Anyway, watch for Deckard Cain on the PTR soon. Overwatch Retribution will be here shortly. The event runs from April 10th through the 30th. So that's a few days from now. Takes place on, or there's also a new PvE map called Rialto. This is where this is going to take place. It's based in Venice, Italy. Rialto, much like Uprising, will be pitting a team of 4 players as Moira. I do this with her every time. I say Moria like Mines of Moria.
Yeah. They called it a mine.
I don't know why I keep doing that. Anyway, Moira, Reaper, Genji, and McCree against AI units. It will feature all heroes mode like Uprising. Will eventually make its way to the main game as a PvP payload map, so that map will not disappear. And I want to say, wasn't the last Uprising thing, or the last, not Uprising, but I guess it was called Uprising. Whatever, the last one they did, the last event like this, the map was King's Row, I think. But this time you're getting actually a new map, and it'll get rotated into the regular map pool, so that's cool. Let's see. Should be on PTR soon. The Uprising Brawl from last year will return with an all-heroes mode. Mentioned that. New skins include Moira's skin from the trailer and Reaper's skin from the time the Soldier Program... from his time in the Soldier Program as Soldier 24. That's interesting. We're all soldiers now. Anyway, there you go. Overwatch doing their shit. They got shit. They're doing it. All right. nothing really big in Diablo, although there are a lot of rumors swirling around still that a Switch version of Diablo may get announced. Some were hoping for a PAX announcement. Didn't happen. If that happens, I wouldn't be surprised to see it as a tack-on for any big announcements at BlizzCon, so maybe watch for that. I think that platform would be perfect for that. The console versions of Diablo, the Ultimate Evil editions, are fantastic and great examples of how to make a great PC game play just as great on a console. I think people should take notes on that game. If you're making a game and you want to make it good, that's a great way to do it. So we'll see how that goes. Also, Hearthstone had a big week. They've been having big weeks generally, but this week was kind of the release date week and all this other stuff. I'm going to let you explain to me why we should be excited about Hearthstone this week in particular.
Well, because we're leaving the final week of No Witchwood. Next week, Witchwood is coming. Thursday, April 12th. It will be releasing, not Tuesday like we were hoping for.
Yeah.
Although, frankly, this makes making Angry Chicken a little easier.
Yeah. I was going to say, you guys will be able to talk. Yeah. That's. Thanks for doing that, Blizzard. You got your schedule worked out. But yeah,
as a player, just give it to me. As a producer of a podcast that has to report on this in a news-type fashion, I'm fine with it.
Sure. I know we're all used to. I mean, Tuesday is such a release day for everything, for everyone, all over. Like video games generally, that's like your big day. Sometimes Nintendo does weird stuff on Fridays, but generally speaking, Tuesdays are your big release days. So whenever Blizzard moves something around, it always is a little bit weird. They're not trying to avoid anything here, I don't think.
The last few expansions have released on Thursday.
Oh, all right. Well, they got their own thing going. There's no rule that says you can't. So do whatever you want, Blizzard. I pre-ordered this damn expansion, or at least 70 decks worth. So
as much as you can pre-order.
That's all you can do, and
I believe that's the only option for pre-order.
I'm very excited actually to crack that one open, and I don't really know why. As you know, I'm not that big of a Hearthstone guy, but
yep,
excited.
And also this Monday, you can watch the final card reveal stream. They've got Day9 and Ben Brode pairing up. That's my favorite pair. It's the only time I go out of my way to watch the card reveal stream rather than just look at the cards that were revealed after the fact.
Yeah. You just saying pear is making me hungry for a pear. You ever have a good Asian pear? Mm. Sounds really good. Yeah, Day9, Ben Brode. That's cool. One of them will be in plaid, so watch for that. Shocking which one it'll be.
Yes, they will. Jeff Cannata was in plaid at PAX revealing Deckard Cain.
That's true. It's the new thing to do. He did great, by the way. Jeff's a good friend of all of ours, and
he looked like Ben Brode's little brother.
He totally did. Yeah, that was weird. I saw that and went, oh, okay. It's like cosplay. Like, what are we doing here? Like for a hot
Jeff
minute.
Jeff might be older than them too, so it's funny.
I think he is. Yeah. Yeah. He looked like his younger brother. Well, it's because Ben Brode's like a big, gruff-looking, I don't know, monster man.
He's got the big beard.
Sure.
Very expressive.
Yeah, and loud and deep and cool. Anyway, there you go. Day9, Ben Brode. That's Monday. Watch for that. And of course, the Angry Chicken will have recaps of all of this stuff.
You can watch us start off very energetic about the cards we talk about, and then two hours later look like we're ready to take a nap.
That sounds right. I love those kind of marathon shows. So that's what's going on in the rest of Blizzard. How about we dive into one of these here bits?
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the town crier.
All right, let's get to an email we got from Peter Pope, who wrote into theinstance@gmail.com. That's theinstance@gmail.com. And he says this: "Hello, Scott and crew. On the last week's episode, you made a passing comment that the music in Grizzly Hills is the best in the game. Thank you," he says in all caps. "I could not agree more. If I've ever had to go back to Northrend for any reason whatsoever, I try and make it over to Grizzly Hills just for the sole purpose of just listening to the music. There's a wistfulness that just captures me every time I hear it. My stomach knots up and I get a lump in my throat. I can't explain it. There's just something in the instrumentation that cuts straight to the heart. By the way, the stringed instrument used is called a Swedish, I'm not going to say this right, but nickel harpa?
I would say nickel harper.
N-Y-C-K-E-L harpa. So probably nickel, I guess. Yeah. So it's Swedish for nickelback. He says that Russell Brower was a genius. I agree. I hate that Russell doesn't work at Blizzard anymore. It drives me bananas every time I think about it. I'm supposed to interview him again, by the way. Him and Metzen are both supposed to be getting back to me and they're being lazy. Anyway, it's not fair to say that the music peaked there because I feel like it's only gotten better and better on the whole, but Grizzly Hills is just so evocative. Anyway, thanks for the passing comment. I thought I was the only one, Peter. 100% with you there, man. It's my music of the entire history of WoW. I love, love, love it. I don't know what it is about it, but there's something special there. And I wanted to ask Garrett if he had, you know, something like that. He always, like, do you have music that you're as fond of as he is of this?
While I am fond of Grizzly Hills, I wouldn't say it's my favorite. For me, it's probably the Sindori from Burning Crusade, because it's when I made the swap to Horde, started playing a lot of Blood Elves, and there's something just about that damn cello, man. That cello just, it's smooth.
That one's
fantasy.
Yeah, that one's really good. I mean, I have a lot. There's a lot I like, for sure. I love the Old War themes. I love Illidan's theme from the Black Temple stuff is really good. Like, there's a ton of stuff I really like, but there's something about... In fact, is it Totems of Grizzlemaw is the actual track from... Let's see. Hold on. Let's skip ahead here. Yeah, this is it.
There it is.
Oh my gosh, dude. I just want to go there. I love it. Big trees and weird looking deer and some kind of corrupted unit. It's great.
And a bunch of lumberjacks.
Yeah.
And they're not okay.
No.
Because they're... werewolves.
They're not okay. Nice Monty Python reference.
Yeah.
Well, Peter.
Man, yeah, Warcraft music gets me, man.
It's so good. It's the best there is. Like, name another game that's gotten you quite like that. I can't think of anything.
Zelda.
Yeah.
But not recently. I am of the very harsh opinion that Breath of the Wild is the worst Zelda music in the history of the franchise.
Really? Yeah, it's pretty... I admit it's pretty out there. Like, it's kind of a weird take, but...
It's beautiful in its own right. It's too subtle the whole time. It just feels like a never-ending crescendo. It never peaks.
Yeah. Do you like the change though for the like the like the weird way they did that, because it's all like it sounds kind of retro and new at the same time? I really dig it.
Yeah like overall, like, it's good. Like, I'm not gonna say it's bad, but yeah. it never gave me what I wanted. It never I don't know. Never just took the lid off and was like, all right, here you go. Here's the Zelda theme. It never gets there.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that maybe the best WoW era for music is split between, for me, is split between, and maybe this has to do with the expansions themselves. I don't know. This is a hard thing because our brains work funny, but I would say Lich King and Pandaria are kind of tied. For me.
Ah, yeah. I think for me it's BC and Pandaria.
BC's pretty good.
Which probably, I would assume, surprises anyone that knows me, because I'm the biggest Arthas fanboy you'll probably ever meet.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
BC was when I really doubled down on World of Warcraft, and I started technically in vanilla, but I never maxed out.
Right.
BC is when I first started raiding and really, really enjoyed the Blood Elf starting zone. But it's always been an elf thing for me. I missed entirely growing up. So, like, I don't have an affinity for fantasy through something like Dungeons & Dragons until now. First time I played it, I was, like, 24.
Yeah.
I remember Lord of the Rings coming out and just thinking Legolas was the coolest damn thing ever. So when I started playing WoW, I was like, yep, Night Elf Hunter. That's what I'm doing.
If you could go into some... doctor, like, let's just say we're a few years down the road and it's cosmetic style surgery is just easier and less operative and all that, you could just walk into a place and go, yeah, I'd like to get some elf ears, would you do it? You wouldn't do it?
No.
What if you could just do it for a weekend and be at BlizzCon and then the kind of thing that would just, like, go away the next Monday?
I mean, I could do that now. It's called prosthetics.
Oh yeah, I guess you could.
Have to get, you know, I'd have to get Bill to help me so that they look right,
but then you wouldn't be all fleshy, so that somebody, some weird dude at BlizzCon who's got a thing for elf ears wouldn't cozy up and, like, sniff your ear and stuff like that.
The only person I want having a thing for my ears is my wife.
Well, that's good. And she is a trooper for being the one who's willing to do it. So there's that. That's going to do it for the show, everybody. Thank you all for listening, everybody live and otherwise. We really appreciate it. And if you want to get more, you can find our website at theinstance.net. And, of course, frogpants.com for just about everything else we have going on. There is some rad stuff coming up there, so do keep your eye on it. Before we go, though, Garrett, what do you want to mention this week people are going to be checking out?
Every podcast is at amove.tv. Definitely check out The Anger Chicken next week because it'll be Witchwood release week. And other than that, check out my graphic design portfolio at nomoonart.com.
Very nice. And a note, a programming note, as you can tell, this quote-unquote idea of Garrett being on permanent retainer seems to have come over pretty well on a lot of people over the week. I got a lot of great feedback privately and publicly that people really enjoy having your voice on here. So
good.
That makes me very happy to hear.
And thank you for sending me all of the bad ones, by the way.
Oh, of course.
Just picking out just the negative feedback.
Just to keep you, got to keep you honest, or however they say. What do they say? Got to keep it, make me an honest woman. How's that work? I don't know what that is.
That's something very different, Scott.
That's when you're pregnant and you got to get married, right? Is that the deal?
Yes. Keep me humble, I think, was the phrase you were looking for.
I think you're probably right. Anyway,
keep me humble.
On that note, do check that out. Theinstance@gmail.com is the email address. You should use that on the frequent. Send us your thoughts, your comments, whatever. We might read them right here on the show. What else? Twitter, Instance Show. Garrett Art. I'm at Scott Johnson. Terpster is at @the_T, and Patrick is at @notpatrick. You can also find more shows like this, like I said, at frogpants.com. Do check it out. If you like D&D, check out our There Will Be Dungeon show. That's happening this Saturday at 3 p.m. Mountain. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Garrett. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Lockstep opinion recital leads to suspicions about journalistic independence. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. In villages and cities across the Alliance, the town crier is for many the main source of news about the outside world. Blessed with loud voices, comfortable shoes, and good memories, these men and women are trusted to share details of news both local and from afar. Every crier has different news to tell, which made last Thursday a strange day indeed. From the Exodar to Goldshire, from Rutheran Village to Ironforge, criers all shouted the same speech, warning of fake news and saying that only they were to be trusted as sources of information. Upon hearing of this strange synchronicity, ODN investigated. We discovered that the source of the script was a small sect of elves who call themselves the Sinclair. They have been quietly buying up the contracts of town criers all across the Alliance, and the new contracts require the local criers to recite the same Sinclair messages, filled with dark portents and conspiracies. Many are troubled by the subversion of the local crier's trusted position to spread a clearly political message and distrust of other news sources. As the mayor of Goldshire puts it, quote, "The Alliance is supposed to be made up of free people working together for the common good. Having all our news sources owned by the same small group makes it impossible to get the information we need to make good choices about how we live. This smacks of something the Horde would do or the Twilight's Hammer. If you let someone control how you see the world, you let them control you," unquote. We here at Overly Dramatic News couldn't agree more. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at FrogPants.com.